no, it's something, it's strange to be back in Canada living here. This is a strange feeling for us, even though it's been coming up on 10 months. Yeah, it's a different thing. And you guys know that about us. We were gone for 7 years. And so to come back definitely has been an adjustment, but not a bad one. First off, I'd just love to share a little bit about what we've been up to in these last 10 months, actually probably 8 months approximately since we got to share here, and remind everybody sort of how we got here. After 7 whole years in Ukraine, or probably during that last 7th year, you know, we just felt God prompting us and saying it was time. And it was a very strange feeling as well to not to have that moment in our lives when we said, well, this is who we are now, God. This is our identity. We are, well, our identity is in Christ, but we're missionaries to Ukraine. And that was a very strange feeling when we knew that God was calling us away from Ukraine and didn't know what was next. And if you remember how that went, it was a process for us because we felt God saying, you know, it's time to go. And in my life up until that point, I always felt like, okay, God, if it's time to go, if it's time to change something, move or change something, show me what it is I need to change to. Show me where it is to go and what it is to do, and then I'll go. And it just wasn't coming. Months went by, and we were in prayer about this, and we were just unsure what God was calling us to. And finally, we felt that prompt that God was saying, just go. Trust me. Trust me. You're supposed to leave. And so we did it. We said, let's go. Let's go back home to Canada, and we'll see where he leads us to. And so that brings us to where we were in December, January this year, when we were with you guys, and I took a sabbatical with YFC Canada, January, February, March. That was a big blessing, although a very strange timed thing, as you guys can look back and think about now, because, as you know, January, February, March were the last operatable months around here. And then we come off our sabbatical, and then we come into a time where everything's shut down. So a longer sabbatical, I guess. God was really saying, just slow down, I guess, we've been very blessed in this time, despite the frustrations that I'm sure all of us have experienced, but certainly feeling God's blessings. So upon our being here in that time, that January, February, March, it was March that we got moved into Winnipeg, or the end of February, and found a place to stay with just our family, as we knew already by that point in time that we felt that YFC Winnipeg was the place that we were going to be, that I was going to be working at. And that process was the process while we were here to look around and pray and ask God what was next for us. So I had been part of YFC Winnipeg before going to Ukraine, spent just over a year there, and I ran the ball hockey program for them. And when we left, handed that off to somebody else who is still there doing that role, and that's amazing, and it's still a thriving program. And so knowing still people that worked at YFC Winnipeg was certainly a good way for me to find out what was going on there and what kind of things were happening in the ministries and how they were going and what kind of needs they had. But I was also asking God where would he have us. And one of the pulls back here also was feeling like possibly Morden was an option. Morden was where I grew up, and I have some family out there. And since my my cousin passed away last year, he left his wife and 5 children, and we thought, maybe there's a chance that we could go down there and be of some assistance to them while we do something down there. And just felt, you know, I wanted to explore that, and upon exploring it, felt like that wasn't the right place to be. We asked that family, you know, would you like to have us around? And they said, well, yeah, it'd be cool to have you back in Canada and have you around, but we're doing okay. Strange answer I didn't expect, but we're doing okay. So if you're around, that would be awesome, but, you know, we're not in a great need. Okay. YFC Morden didn't look like the right fit for me. Checked out YFC Portage La Prairie, and thought, okay, I see some need here too. but again, just didn't feel like God was pulling me in that direction. Like that didn't feel like the right fit. So in asking YFC Winnipeg what kind of needs they had, they explained quite a few of them. And the biggest one that had been open and vacant for quite some time was the YFC drop-in ministry. They needed a director to run that. And so if anybody knows where the YFC Winnipeg building is, that's right downtown, Higgins and Main. And well, if you know where that place is, it's an interesting location. There's a lot of rough things around there, but certainly we at YFC Winnipeg attempt to be the light in the darkness down there. And so when I knew about this position, we prayed about that and spent some time talking with some people and finally came to that conclusion. That's where we're going to be. And so I started off quarantine, started off that time in March, in the beginning of our processing, the fundraising process, and just moving over. But I was able to start there pretty soon, just on a limited basis. And so I've been there ever since April 20th, on a half-time basis, 20 hours a week, doing whatever I could with my time while we were quite limited with what we could do, as you know, during that that first bit of time. That nothing was open, nothing was operational. Everybody was saying, stay home, you know, you're not allowed to go do anything. So until July hit, we weren't open as a drop-in center. We weren't open for almost any ministries. And that was certainly a sad time, but July hit, and I was able to come on and actually start and open the drop-in. So I felt really blessed to be able to do that. One of the things that I saw when I was starting there was there was one staff member there in the drop-in. There's one staff member for that all the way up until that point. And his name was Emmanuel, and he's a young guy. He's actually Nigerian born, and he had been working 10 hours a week there as he's only 19, turned 20 just this year. He was going and he was just dedicating his time to making sure he was there while that 10 hours of drop-in time was open. And there was some leadership in there. And so it was very awesome to see that he was so dedicated to that. Such a young guy, such a passion and a heart to serve God. A very Holy Spirit-led guy, always opening the Bible. No fear to share God's word and Jesus' message with all the kids. And it was so amazing to see him there. I also got to meet a lot of volunteers that had been there. Mostly at that time it was via the internet, via phone calls, meeting people that way. And so I got to call and meet probably 20 different people that had been involved in there, mostly volunteers. And I also got to meet one girl who was a volunteer who wanted to come on as staff. And so her name is Greta. She is a fellow staff member with me. You can keep her in your prayers as well. She is originally a Burmese refugee. And she came here at 14 years old after living and growing up in refugee camps just inside of Thailand. And she is just on fire for the Lord and passionate about sharing God's goodness. As she became a Christian, really gave her life to Christ only about 3-4 years ago. And so she's 24, she's married, and just a great person to have in there with me as well. As far as volunteers go, We had lots of them, as I said. I called them. Everyone seemed gung-ho. And then we opened our doors in July, and I said, hey, let's get you to come back, and let's see where we can fit you in and where your skills are. And I wanted to meet these people and get to know them and see how they could share just Jesus' goodness with the youth that are coming. And they didn't show up. Unfortunately, they just weren't coming back. And they all had their own reasons or we'll say reasons. they said to me, and I'm not sure if they were worried about the situation or they had the different change in schedule. I know summer often draws a lot of people away, so I hoped that this time of year they'd be coming back. And I saw very few people that were willing to come back, and so I've had about 2 volunteers that were actually wanting to come back. And so I knew I had a big task ahead of me. And I'm in that time right now of looking for volunteers and finding out which ones might actually be coming back. But in this time of, you know, quarantine and all that stuff that was going on as I started with YFC, even though we were frustrated by how we couldn't have our doors open, I was frustrated that I couldn't get started. I was very much feeling God's blessings. I was very much feeling God just guiding us in that time. I was able to build that, just sort of that understanding of how everything works there for myself, able to meet with all of these people, as I said, and get to know the ones who were wanting to come back, those serious ones, even though there were not many, and just get to spend time with them and build a foundation. And so one of the things, a couple of things that we did was certainly we prayed a lot, as we continue to. We praised God a lot, we sang, and it's been a fantastic time to just build this foundation of what the drop-in is going to look like, who's going to be there, what kind of volunteers we're going to have, what the expectations of all, us all are. And for me, really short list of that is simply I want to have volunteers and staff in there that are absolutely on fire for the Lord. They want to share God's goodness. They're excited to do that. They're bold. They're willing to be bold even if they don't feel that bold yet. They're willing to be. And they come in with a joy that they want to share with these young people. And so that's what we're looking for. That's what I'm trying to build as a foundation and a team there. As the summer was starting and low volunteers, it was also very low with youth. It was hard because there wasn't actually a great way to reach out to the youth that had been coming. I was told that before this all came down and before COVID hit, there was a lot of people, a lot of youth started coming out, especially into the gym. They love to use the basketball courts and play basketball there. And so there was so many coming out, and we wanted, well, let's try to get them back. Let's try to get them in here. And I asked, how do we do that? Where's the phone number list, or where's the thing that we're going to, you know, connect with them all through? There wasn't anything. Nobody had all this information. I was very frustrated by that as well. I thought, okay, it must be an Instagram account or a Facebook account or something out there where they're all connected to. But everywhere I looked, they weren't connected to that. And so we opened our doors and just hoped that word of mouth would spread, and our little bit of advertising. We went and put up some posters in the nearby area on the different housing areas that are in the downtown core. And the summer was just very, very slow. That's how it was. We had Tuesday nights and Thursday nights of drop-in, and often we would have nights with one or two kids, three kids. We had a zero night where we just got to spend time with the volunteers and staff. Felt very strange, felt a little defeating, but I look back on it already now and I can see, okay, God had his hands in this. We were building our team, we were building a foundation, and this was the beginning. And so as summer has wrapped up and school has started and a little bit more schedule and routine has happened, I've seen lots of kids coming in now. We have probably about 10 kids a night on our drop-in nights, and every night there's a little bit more. There's a bunch of people who want to come. A large interest has been basketball. People want to come. There's young guys that want to come play basketball, and that's a real touchy one because, as you know, through this whole COVID situation, how are we going to do that? How are you going to play basketball? You know, we started hockey program, started soccer. These are things where you don't touch your hands to each other or the ball. And then they tell us, well, with COVID, how are you going to play basketball? And so we haven't played any real basketball yet, but I've allowed people into our gym. And we're starting by allowing people in just to take a ball for themselves and shoot on a hoop. But no one's actually allowed to play a game. So I think that's a little discouraging to the youth. There's quite a few who are just dying to play. And I have to step in and kind of be the boss and the mean guy who says, hey, stop playing one-on-one with each other. And it's heartbreaking to me because I want to be the one playing with them. And I want to go play with them. But I'm supposed to be the one who enforces those rules. And so we have very high hopes, and it's in our prayers that we can start that soon. There's a lot of very loose guidelines from the government right now, and I've looked and I've read through a bunch of them, and they often say, well, in this case do this, in that case do that, and we're not going to say exactly how you have to do it, but YFC Winnipeg is a place that's always been under the eye of people. People are watching. There's a lot of scrutiny that comes their way. Just being a Christian, a big Christian organization within Winnipeg, there's always a reporter or somebody who comes knocking and asking questions. Recently, there was a coworker of mine who leads the volunteer department, got an email, says, hey, I'd like to volunteer, but I'm gay. Can I? It's just bait. just bait to try to get us in trouble, right? And right away she told me this because I happened to be near her when she got this email, and she said, oh, what do I do? I said, well, don't answer that right now. Don't answer that yourself. Talk to the bosses. Talk to the other people and see how we are supposed to handle this one, because we know our beliefs, and we know what we have. We have a statement of faith. We have all these things as a Christian organization, and we think probably whoever this person is trying to get us in trouble. They're trying to bait us, and there's no way that they'd probably sign our statement of faith anyways. So if they come to that point, let's get them to read it and see if they agree. And so they went through this process, and I think it's wrapped up now, and I think they've taken care of this. But there's always somebody around. There's always somebody trying to get us in trouble for something because, well, the enemy is out there. You know, Satan doesn't want us to thrive, does not want us who are attempting to do God's will to be successful. And so he always is prompting people to do things and cause disturbances and question God's will. And we do our best to be covered in prayer, to be guided by the Lord, and just ask God, you know, show us the way, show us what you want us to be doing. Do I have access to some slides here, Matt? Is that possible? I brought only a couple photos this time. Not that many, as I usually do. I usually bring like 30 along from our journey in Ukraine. But, well, there's a lot less to show you, I think, when it comes to just showing YFC Winnipeg. I'm not showing you a whole country and what it's like to live there. So, I could show you what it's like to live in downtown Winnipeg, but I think you guys have been there. I can go there when you please. So, we're living in the West End, you know, over actually on Ingersoll, near Portage in St. Matthews, and not too far away from this place. What do we got here? Just a couple photos of. This is mine to flick through. Couple photos of what's going on there. So we've got a really big, cool facility. If anybody hasn't seen it or seen photos of it before, it's huge. It's amazing. It's got so much opportunity for youth to have a great time, which is, again, why I was just dumbfounded when kids weren't coming back in this summer. I'm like, where are you guys? There's so much good stuff to do here. Not all kids want to play pool. Not all want to play ping pong. Not all want to do that stuff. They'd rather play video games. So we got that too. We encourage them not to just sit there and only play video games. We as staff and volunteers really try to get in with them we challenge them to games of pool or ping pong or something all the time. And we'll give them a prize if they can beat us, which I don't let happen often or ever. They got to earn it. So here we have a picture of sort of our couch area at the front of the building. It looks out onto Main Street there. The girl that you see there with her mask down around her chin, that's Greta, the girl I mentioned, who's the other staff member with me now. Then we have a few kids. Couldn't see all the kids in there. There's probably four kids in there that day, just around the circle, and I took a picture. We're really blessed. As you see, we have pizzas in our hand. We've got a Little Caesars nearby that I guess has Christian owners that want to bless us. So every Monday morning, we have a volunteer that goes by, picks up all their frozen ones, at the end of the night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They put them in a freezer, and they keep them for us. And so Monday morning, our volunteer goes and picks them up, puts them in our fridge. Then over the week, we heat them up in the oven, and it's actually pretty, I think they've been doing this for quite a while, but it's a pretty nice, ideal situation for us right now, because I can take the whole pizza, box and all, and put it in the oven, because I'm not allowed to touch the pizza, COVID procedures, and give them a whole pizza. And man, are they pretty pumped about that. So I think before, it could be an issue again. Again, God's blessings in low numbers, because I think we get maybe 30 pizzas every week. And so if I had 30 kids on one night, that would be all of them there, and no other programs would get any pizzas. And it would be, they'd be all be gone right away. So I think we're being very blessed right now in the time and the situation that's happening. And so we sit down here at our little couch area every night. So we're open from 4 till 9 right now, a five-hour thing. And at 7 o'clock, we sit down and have a God talk and snack time. And so I often lead those, but I also like to give opportunity to other staff and volunteers who are, I'd say, willing but want to lead those talks and just share about their life story, share what God's done in their life, and how in a way that might be effective to these young, mostly guys. It's almost always guys right now. We are hoping to get more girls in there because we have lady volunteers and hardly any girls that come. So, yeah, that's what we do right there. Figured I'd throw that one in to show two things. My son, of course, August, and the big, beautiful climbing wall. They just have such an amazing facility there. I feel it's completely different worlds going from where I was in Ukraine and working with whatever I could find to coming to this place that has got so much, has so much stuff and so many cool facilities. So we had some kids camps this summer where we did things for a younger age group, approximately grade 3 to 7, had some fun with kids there. So I let my kids come one day and do some climbing and play some other games and things. Traditionally, the youth center, the drop-in on the Tuesdays and Thursday nights will be for an older age, so like a 13 to 17-year-old, approximately. We'll usually let some younger kids in if there's not too many, or if they come with a friend or a sibling or something, but approximately that age. Just another shot from a different angle of the video games and pool tables and ping pong there. You'll see it's a bit of a dark photo, I think. Someone might have put it through a filter or something like that. In there now, we've had, up until this last week actually, us as staff and volunteers, we were wearing masks. That's sort of the protocol. When you go anywhere, you see that the staff members are wearing masks when you go into places. But as a patron or somebody who comes in, they didn't have to, and the kids weren't, the youth were not. But as of this last week, we had to have all people wearing the masks. And we were a little bit worried about that. Is it going to drive them away? Is it going to be a difficult problem? But because of school starting up, these youth they're used to it. They wear masks all day long at school, and even though it's an inconvenience, they're used to it and willing to do it in order to play some games and hang out. So that's pretty cool. Skipped. Kids in the gym, shooting around basketballs. Yeah, the last few weeks there's often been 6-7 kids in there, and we just go shoot around, and it's a huge gym. Again, just so blessed to have this huge facility, full-size gym. Six nets, lots of kids who want to play. And so I'm just so anxious to play with them. A lot of them talk a big game, and I want to show them that they need to humble themselves a little bit. Maybe God has something in store for me there. Maybe I'm the one who has to be humbled. We'll see. Very awesome that we can climb up onto our roof. We've got a rooftop area that they actually built so that you can climb over and do the rock climbing wall from the outside of the building. When we first moved in that building, when I worked there 8-9 years ago, I was able to rappel down the wall, and it was really fun and cool. But they've got this patio thing on top of the roof, so when there was some couple nice evenings, we made sure that when we had some time, I think this might have been a day where, this is one of those days where there was little to no youth, and we're like, let's go upstairs and sing praises to Jesus. And so we sing it from the rooftops, and the acoustics aren't so great up there, but we still proclaim Jesus' name in downtown Winnipeg and just get to say thank you, Jesus, for this place and these things. So the gentleman in the middle of the red shirt there, he's Emmanuel, the Nigerian-born guy. He has, part of the story that I didn't finish is that he was holding down the fort. And because I came on, he was like, oh, finally I can go. And unfortunately, that means he's left us as staff, but he is still coming around as a volunteer sometimes. So we're happy to have him still around. The other guy with the guitar there is a volunteer who's also partially coming around, but he works for the Salvation Army actually nearby. So he's a good friend of ours that gets to help out. And yeah. So, like I said, I didn't bring many photos this time. So just enough to show you, give you a little taste of what it looks like there and the kind of kids that are coming. We continue to feel very blessed there. In those God talk times that we get to do, our little Bible studies that we do every day at 7 o'clock, I decided a little while, started off with just life stories. Just tried to share with them who I was, where God has led me, and things that God has done in my life. And now that school's back on, I decided that I wanted to start something, sort of a track. and decided that we'd start in the book of Matthew. And so a lot of these kids that come in, it's important when you share your message to try to get an understanding of where are these youth are at. Where's the audience at? Are they Christians? Have they heard about God ever before? Have they been around it a long time? Have they not been around it at all? Are they from a different faith background? Are they, you know, from an atheist family? What is it? And so that's something I try to do as I spend time with the kids. Just hanging around, playing games, talking to them, ask them about life, ask them about their families, ask them about church. It's not a hard thing to do when we're youth for Christ. I can bring that up and say, this is who we are. Why do you come here? Get to ask them questions like that. And so I found out that a lot of these youth that are coming, I'd say maybe half of them, are from church families. They're from families that have gone to church. Especially, we've got a lot of kids from Nigerian families, actually. And there's so many of these Nigerian families that are Christians. There's even a youth that comes and his dad's a pastor in one of these Nigerian churches. But that being said, I was a youth growing up in a church, and I know how it's like, what it's like, and that you're not always that committed to the things that you've been raised with. And I see that a lot with these young guys. But they have an understanding of what the Bible says. They have an understanding of the Jesus story and the gospel. And then there's another half of the group that really doesn't. And it's a mix. There's a mix of other guys. I think there's a couple, maybe three, four kids that I've seen that are from Muslim backgrounds. They come from countries that are Muslim countries. And I can see how they're a little bit more resistant. You know, they've been trained to sort of shut that off, but they're coming. And in order to have a pizza and sit down with us in our snack time, they're also hearing the good news. So I'm very happy that they're still with us and they still at least somewhat listen. So I think that's a really good time. Like I said, I lead most of those, but I allow our volunteers and other staff opportunity to share with them too. I see that my opportunity or my role there is much more of a facilitator of the whole event. I'm the one who makes sure it's there. I'm the one who makes sure we have the staff and volunteers there. And I'm trying to encourage our staff and volunteers to spend more one-on-one time with youth and play games and share in the goodness of Jesus with them. So as I shared that we are in the book of Matthew, and just the other day I was in Matthew 5. Now, we don't read every verse through every chapter. What I've done is I generally go in and I'll just take one chapter every day and we'll just take one story from that chapter, right? There's a lot in the gospel and I want them to hear it all eventually, but to give them some structure and some to see that, see how long each story is, I love to share in a way that makes it, that they might be interested to go read it themselves. And one thing I have to make sure that I tell them is that, okay, if you go and read a chapter even a day, and then kids in their head, they'll think, a chapter? Ugh, I remember what a chapter is. You know, I've read books. I've been forced to. Those books, they, you know, a chapter, I don't want to read 20 pages of something. I said, well, take a look. Open the Bible. Show them. This is a chapter. It's not half an hour of reading. A chapter is often for most people, even if you're being, you know, a good amount of time and thoughtful, it's often 5 minutes. And so I said, well, let's just look at a story. You can even just start with a story. If you don't read the Bible at all, I would love if you even just read a verse a day, anything. And so, like, let's start with a story. And so we went into Matthew 5, or every time we go into the chapter, we'll just read one of the little stories. But Matthew 5, I'd like to read it. You guys are all familiar with it, I'm sure, as it's the Sermon on the Mount, and the very first part is the Beatitudes, starting verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So, this was just a great one to share with them as a bunch of young guys who, some, like I said, they aren't Christians. They don't know what it is. We talk about God, they just, you know, okay, there's a greater power type thing. Some of them coming from church backgrounds, they hear about God and, yeah, I should follow Jesus. That sounds good, but, you know, I'm busy doing my thing. Well, here with the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, we get to see how Jesus said that you will be blessed, that you will have blessings in your life, and that a lot of people come to the conclusion, well, life will be hard, life will be horrible, and I'll just suffer through it and wait till I get to heaven, then it will be good. Yeah, life can be tough, life can be a struggle, certainly, but God has, as Jesus said right here, many blessings for us on this earth. He says there will be tough things, right? In order to receive the kingdom of heaven, you would be poor in spirit. In order to be comforted, you must have mourned, right? There are struggles that we have. There are difficulties. And to share that with these young guys, to know, we're not trying to paint the picture that just because you give your life to Christ, everything's perfect, some genie in a bottle method, that everything will be great and you'll get everything you want. That's not what we're saying. But certainly, no matter who you are, you have these things. There's times in your life where you'll have to mourn. There's times in your life where you'll be in a struggle. Everyone, every single person out there, Christian or not. But it's by being with Christ, spending time with Christ, following Christ, that we receive these blessings. And so it's such a huge thing to be able to share with these guys, that they get to understand that there's more to it than just a simple, yeah, there must be a God out there. And that life will just suck, and it's a book of rules, the Bible, and you're going to have to follow it, and it's going to be so hard, and life won't be fun because you have the Bible. You know, that's the idea from a lot of people, not just youth. A lot of people in this world. And so I'm just so happy that I get to share this good news with them. That was just one day. And we get to have some good one-on-one conversations with these young guys as well. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I really feel like even though God has brought us to this place in this time, He's brought us back to Canada, He's brought us to YFC Winnipeg, and He's got me in that drop-in place, I have many days where I have to sit and pray and ask God, you know, comfort me in the way that I'm missing what I had, the people that were around me. I miss my friends. I miss we'll say ministries that I was involved in. I miss those people because there was relationships. There was people that I got to know. There was people that I was able to disciple and mentor there. And I was very happy and comfortable in that place. And so when we felt that God was calling us away, that was a struggle, and it continues to be. The thing I don't struggle with is knowing that He called me. That's the one thing that I'm very sure of. I'm not saying that I'm not supposed to be here. I know that I'm supposed to be here. I know that God called us home. I just don't always feel that passion about it when I wake up in the morning, right? And so what we do as a family is we spend the beginning of every day reading the Word together. We pray together, and even recently we've been singing together. And so that's a thing that just lifts my heart up and gives me great joy when I have these thoughts, when I remember. And so the Beatitudes, you know, God is blessing us in a time of our own little struggles. This is not a huge thing. I'm not trying to claim that we're some poor souls that, you know, are beat down or anything like that. Just a feeling I have. We all have these feelings. We have struggles. We have thoughts and frustrations and sadnesses. And we can lean on Jesus and say, please help me through these times. And so that's something that we have to do for ourselves first. We have that relationship with God. And then we have the opportunity to share it with those around us, right? And so that's what I'm so blessed and honored to be able to do at YFC. I'm thankful for it. I'm looking for more opportunities, looking for more youth and more people to help do it. But I know God's hand is in it. God has a plan for us, and we're going to keep going. So we're so thankful for that. I think I'll pray. That'll be it for me. Thank you, Jesus, for today. Thank you so much for being here with us. Thank you for allowing me to share what you've done in my life and the situation around me, God. I just ask that you continue to be with each and every one of us in this room, in our hearts, in our souls, that we, when we have struggles or frustrations, that we can lean on you, God, that we know that you are Lord, that you see all of the little problems, and they're really nothing to you, God. It's so easy for you to just flip a switch and do something, God. For us, it's a lot more difficult, and we know that you see that, and we just ask your help to get through those times, to get through those struggles. We thank you for your many blessings that you have given us, that you are giving us, and that you will give us, God. We ask you to continue to guide us, to lead us, and allow us to just remember you every day, to worship your mighty name, and to proclaim your name to anyone that may be around us, God. We thank you so much for life and breath in our lungs, and the joy that we can have in you, Christ. In your mighty name, Jesus, amen.